Well, anyway, this message that I want to share to you today, it's about prayer. Do we have any prayers here today? Anybody believe in prayer? I know that we do. I know that we do. I got this message one day after we had been having early morning prayer. We set up an early morning prayer time in our church, and I told the people when we announced it, and I will be there every day. Now, after I said that, after the service that day, I thought, what did I just say? I said I would be there every day. And then I was, you know, committed now and accountable to be there. And I'm not really the most, I'm not really a morning person, but I had to be there. So I got up and I got ready and I went to church every day. And at first, I have to tell you, they were always good times of prayer, because when you now know how to pray, it's always good. God's presence comes and we're blessed and we receive from the Lord and he hears our prayers. So they were good times, but it wasn't really anything spectacular. But every day we would pray the Ephesians prayers and the Colossians prayers, prayers for revelation knowledge. We did this one day after the other after the other. And then I think it was about 2 months after we started this early morning prayer meeting, where I was every day in the prayer meeting. About 2 months after this, I had a breakthrough into revelation knowledge. That's the only way that I can describe it. I opened the Bible. When I opened the Bible, I picked out a scripture, because we would always just read a scripture, say a few words about it, and then pray. And this day, I opened the Bible, read the scripture, and all of a sudden, bang, revelation knowledge came. Things that I had never seen before. And this went on for a period of time. And this message comes out of that. What I'm going to share with you today was something that was a revelation to me, and it changed my life and empowered my prayer life in a new way. Now, if you have your Bible, you can open it with me in Ephesians 6:18. Brother Hagin used to read this scripture at every single winter Bible seminar, because when he would teach on prayer, he would teach on all kinds of prayer. Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, I had heard this scripture at least 100 times and read it many, many times. I had preached from this scripture myself before I got what I'm sharing with you today. So I had heard about, you know, we pray all kinds of prayers, that we should persevere in prayer, that we should pray in the Spirit, that we should be watchful, that we shouldn't give up, but just continue praying. And I had taught messages about this scripture. But on that day, the last four words of this scripture just became alive to me. For all the saints. Paul is talking about praying for all the saints. Now, maybe no one has ever accused you of being a saint, but you are one. I know that there are churches, they have a long process of, you know, making someone into a saint. And then, you know, after a while, they're blessed. After a while, they're canonized and they become a saint. But as soon as you got born again, you were washed in the blood of Jesus. You were made righteous in Jesus Christ. You are a saint. Amen. So when Paul says that we should pray for all the saints, he's talking about praying for all believers, praying for one another. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a new thing, but when I saw that on that day, I got this revelation that actually praying for the body of Christ is the most important prayer that you can pray. I call it priority number one in prayer. Now, I'm not saying that we can't pray for other things. We should. There's a lot of things we should pray for. But many times we're focusing on other things when, in fact, the New Testament says a lot more about praying for one another than it does for anything else. Another really well-known scripture in this area is Romans chapter 8. Now, this scripture has been used to teach on interceding for the lost and, you know, groaning in the Spirit to make the way for a breakthrough into winning the lost. But that's not what it's talking about at all. In Romans 8:26, Paul writes, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Once again, when I read this scripture, those three words here, for the saints, kind of jumped off the page and grabbed my attention. God was saying we have to focus on praying for one another. We have a commission in this world. We have a job to do in this world. And that's why prayer for the body of Christ has to become a priority for each and every one of us. Now, like I said, this scripture has often been used to teach about making intercession for the lost. And don't get me wrong, I believe we should pray for the lost, but the New Testament has practically nothing to say about praying for the lost. I don't know if you know that or not. And you know, Brother Hagin, he always used to say, don't believe me, get your Bible out, prove it for yourself. But the New Testament has practically nothing to say about praying for the lost, but it has a lot to say about praying for believers, praying for all the saints. Amen. Now, there's a couple scriptures where it's implied that we should pray for the lost, and I believe we should. But prayer for the body of Christ is more important, and I'm going to tell you why. But first, before we do that, let's see if Paul did what he said we should do. He said that we should pray all kinds of prayers in the Spirit, making supplication, persevere in prayer for all the saints. Let's see if he did that. In Romans 1, verse 9. Now, I'm going to read these real quick. So if you're not that fast with your Bible, you can just see the scriptures up here. Romans 1, 9. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Say, without ceasing. Now say always.
Always.
Always. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Say always.
Always.
Always. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, we know this scripture. We've actually prayed this scripture so many times. But he says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you. Say that one time. Cease not.
Cease not.
Cease not. Now, I know I'm going quick here, but I just want to show you Paul practiced what he preached. He prayed for these churches all the time without ceasing. In Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Now, I really like this scripture because you could teach on this scripture for, I think, a whole year. But he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In other words, every time I'm reminded of you, every time I think about you, I pray for you. Now, that was a big help to me because, you know, I hate to admit it, but I was probably a little bit over-spiritual in some ways, a little bit hyper-spiritual. You know, I'd be driving down the road and I'd see somebody or see something, and it would remind me of a person that I knew in the church. Well, I wouldn't automatically pray for them because I think, well, that's just a coincidence. That is not the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's just coincidence. So I just go on my way. And then I saw that Paul says, upon every remembrance, it doesn't matter why I think about you. It doesn't matter why I'm reminded of you. But every time I think about you, I should pray for you. Amen. So if I'm going down the street and I see a guy and he has a big nose like the guy in my church with the big nose, I mean, and I'm reminded of him, that is an opportunity to pray. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He says, every time I think about you, I pray for you. And then he says, I make requests with joy. Now, I believe in groaning in the Spirit, and I know there's times when tears will flow in our prayer life. But prayer should primarily be a thing of joy. A time where we're fellowshipping with God, experiencing his presence, receiving answers. And I'm telling you, when we get answers, that makes us happy. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Paul was making requests with joy because he's praying in faith, believing God. God will answer us today. Amen. Colossians 1 and verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then in Colossians 1, 9, just a few verses later, the same letter. He says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. I mean, in just a few verses, he says, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. And note this here. He says, this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. You see, Paul didn't just pray by himself for them. He also incorporated his prayer team. He said, guys, we got to pray for those believers over in Colossae. We have to pray for them. They need our prayers. Amen. Paul was so confident in the prayers of the people, he said, you are helping us together by your prayers. He told Philemon, he says, listen, you better prepare a room for me in your house because I know that they're going to let me go and I'm going to be able to come to you in just a few short, in just a short time. He was so confident that Philemon's prayers were going to get him out of jail. He said, prepare a room for me when I come. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. Amen. Paul was a Southerner, right? You all. Okay. But you know, this is also a great truth right here. I mean, he probably didn't know every single believer in the church in Thessalonica at this point. I mean, he probably knew some of them because he was there and he preached, but he probably didn't know all of them. But still, he's saying, I am praying for every one of you. Now, how was he doing that? Well, you can pray general kinds of prayers, but you can also pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, a lot of times we don't even know what it is we're saying, but I think he's praying specific things for specific peoples in specific needs. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost in our prayer life. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. I mean, that's right there. If we would start doing that, and I believe if the body of Christ would start doing that, that would end 95% of the problems in all churches. You know, if we'd start thanking God for one another instead of fighting against one another, I think we'd be doing a lot better. Don't you think that too? Amen. You know, since I saw this and started doing this, my love for the body of Christ has grown. Amen. I thank God for the Catholics. Now, I'm telling you what, they wanted to drive me out of the country. They gave me a hard time, friends. They said bad things about me and published them in newspapers. But you know what? I love them. They can't stop me from loving them. And some of them love me too. You know, you just stick with it and hang in there and love on them. Eventually, a couple of them are going to see that you mean well. Amen. Hallelujah. But I believe if we'd start giving thanks for the whole body of Christ, our love for the body would grow and their love for us would grow. Jesus said that all people would know we're his disciples because of our love for one another. Amen? Amen. Not because of our doctrinal unity. And don't get me wrong. I am glad to be a part of the Word of Faith movement. Amen. This is where God placed me. 2 days after I got born again, I got the book, The Believer's Authority. So I know where God placed me, and I'm thankful for this part of the body of Christ. Amen. And I know what I believe. I know how to defend what I believe. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I love those who believe differently as long as Jesus is in the center. Jesus, the eternal Word, the Lamb of God who died for us, who gave his life and who rose again. This Jesus, he unifies each and every one of us. Amen. And then in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 11, therefore we pray always, always, say it one time, always for you. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, now I like this one too. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Say it one time, night and day. Okay, now just a quick review. Paul prayed for the church in Rome, in Corinth, in Philippi, in Colossae, in Thessalonica. He prayed for Timothy. He prayed for individuals. He prayed for churches. He prayed for them always. He ceased not to pray for them. Every time he thought of them, he prayed for them. He gave thanks always for them, and he prayed for them night and day. Well, that sounds like a lot of praying, doesn't it? It sounds like that was a priority to his life. And he told us to do the same thing with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit with perseverance. Pray for all the saints. Amen, amen, amen. You know, there's only two scriptures in the entire New Testament that even talk about praying for the lost. And neither one of them say specifically that we should pray for the lost. I don't know if you know that. But in Romans 10 and verse 1, Paul says, talking about his countrymen, the Jews who were not born again, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So he's talking about the fact that he prayed for unbelievers, but he's saying that he prayed that they might be saved. But nowhere does he say, now, I want you to do that too. I want you to do exactly what I'm doing. And there are entire prayer groups that are praying for Israel. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe we should pray for Israel. Does anybody out there believe that as well? I mean, if Israel should have a friend in the world, it should be us. Isn't that right? We should love them, support them, pray for them because we have a shared heritage. Amen. And they preserve the word of God for us. And Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, somebody. Amen. He's the King of the Jews, but he's the King of all kings. Hallelujah. So we love Israel and we pray for them. But Paul just says it like this. I pray that they might be saved. And we have entire prayer groups, intercession groups, praying night and day for Israel. I'm not against that. It's okay. But the priority in the New Testament is that we pray for one another. Hallelujah. And just so you know, when you pray for Israel, you know, we should pray like Paul prayed. We should pray that they might be saved. Now don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, you can pray all kinds of other things for them as well. But this is their primary need right here. What they need more than anything else is Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, Israel, we love Israel, but I'm telling you, there's not going to be any peace in Jerusalem until the Prince of Peace comes back. You can pray for the peace of Jerusalem until you're blue in the face, and it's not going to happen until the Prince of Peace comes back. Amen. So we're praying, Lord, save them, open their eyes, let the Messiah, let Jesus be revealed to them. Amen. And, you know, like I said, go ahead, let's pray for Israel, but let's make it a priority to pray for one another. Now, there's another scripture where Paul mentions unbelievers, but he doesn't really even use the term unbelievers. And I'm just making a point about this because I know that some people think praying for unbelievers must be the most important thing because if they don't get to know Jesus, then they won't get saved. That's true, but listen to this. No one gets saved by our prayers. People get saved when they hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and receive Jesus. And we could pray all day, but if nobody gets out there and preaches the gospel, nobody's going to get saved. They got to hear that. And this commission has been given to us. Amen. And I hate to say it, but so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering today. So many of them are beaten down and bound. So many of them are, you know, poor and broke. So many of them are sick in their body. So many of them are so consumed with their own problems, they can't lift up their eyes to see the harvest is white. Come on. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority. So when he says for all men, of course, that includes everybody, right? Now, at the same time, we have to recognize that Christians are still people, right? I mean, there are some that think we're extraterrestrials, and you know, I understand what they're trying to say, but we're not. God created us here on this planet, amen, and we have a destiny in heaven, that's a fact. But we are not ETs. We are people. So when he says pray for all people, that doesn't exclude Christians. And he doesn't specifically say for the lost, but they would be included here. I do believe in praying for the lost. The New Testament says hardly anything about it, but I do believe that we should. But here he says to pray for kings and all that are in authority. Now, and I've heard this many times. People say, you see, Paul says, first of all, pray for the government. Well, actually, that's not what he says here, because when he says, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, he mentions all men before he mentions kings and those who are in authority, right? And not only that, when he says, first of all, this is just, you know, a figure of speech, like as if I were to say, well, the first thing I want to tell you is this. First of all, this is the deal, you know, the first thing I have to say. But he says to pray for kings and all that are in authority. Listen to this. Why do we pray for the government? He tells us exactly why. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we, everybody say those two words, that we, say it real loud, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires that all people be saved. Now, we pray for the government for us. We don't pray for the government for politics. We don't pray for the government for a certain party. Now, you know, you have your opinion. I have my opinion. You know, opinions are like noses. Everybody has one, right? Okay. And you know, it's fine and it's okay to talk about these things. But we are not here to set up a theocracy on this planet. One day Jesus will come from heaven and he will rule and reign in Jerusalem. That will happen. He will set up the theocracy. But that's not our job. Paul says when you pray for the government, you're praying actually for the body of Christ. Pray for kings and all that are in authority that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, these two words, quiet and peaceable, they're very similar. But in the Greek, they have a slightly different meaning. And the one is talking about a peace that is on the inside, and the other is talking about a peace that is on the outside. In other words, he wants things to be well with you on the inside as well as the outside of your life. He wants you to be blessed inwardly, and he wants you to be blessed outwardly. He wants you to experience his love and joy and prosperity inwardly, and he wants you to experience his love, joy, and prosperity outwardly in every area of life. In other words, you could say it like this. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for kings and all that are in authority that the body of Christ would be blessed. And then he tells us why. There's two reasons why. Number one, and I love this. He says, because this pleases God. Did you know it pleases God when you're blessed? It pleases him when you have a peaceful and quiet life. When you're blessed, when the work of your hands is blessed, when you're healthy and strong, when your marriage is well, when your children are living for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That blesses our God. It says this is good and acceptable. In other words, it makes him happy when you're blessed. Oh, hallelujah. And then he says this, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, listen, we pray for the government for us. That we would be blessed because it pleases God and because he wants to reach everybody. He wants all people to be saved, and he has commissioned us with this great work. Amen? That's our job. That's your job. That's my job. And like I said, today there are so many of our family members, so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering. And sometimes we don't even recognize it because we got so many issues ourselves. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hello. Yeah. And Paul made this statement. He says, if one member suffers, we all suffer. And so, you know, even if we're all doing really well, there's people suffering somewhere else, and it has an effect on us. Whether we sense it or not, whether we know it or not, it's having a big effect on the body of Christ worldwide. That's why we got to pray for one another. Because listen, your destiny is connected to my destiny. Fulfilling your purpose in life is connected to me fulfilling my purpose in life, right? Because if I don't fulfill my purpose in life, then somebody else is going to have to take up the slack. Hello, somebody. Are you out there? You understand what I'm saying? So actually, it's in my best interest to pray for you. Amen. If I want to succeed and if I want to fulfill God's plan for my life, then it's good for me to pray for you because our destinies are connected. Jesus said, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. Now, listen to this. Jesus is in the Father, and he is in me. Okay? And he said, I am in you. So I'm in him, he's in you, we're in one another. We are connected. When you're not doing well, I can't be doing as well as I could be. Do you understand that? Amen. And it's so important that we pray for one another. Lord, bless this church. Bless these people. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your peace. Thank you for financial prosperity. Thank you for open doors. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for strength. Lord, I just believe you right now. The whole family's blessed. Their marriage is blessed. Their children are coming to Jesus, living for Jesus, walking with you every day of their lives. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name. Just to pray for one another, there's such a power in that. Paul says, you are helping me by your prayers. He knew it. You know, I think some people, they think, you know, praying is a good thing to do and, you know, it's a Christian thing to do, but there's power in it. Power is set free. I pray that Ephesians chapter 3 for our church, and I pray it for the body of Christ every day. I pray it for our pastoral team. I pray it for our leaders. I just say, Lord, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of the whole family in heaven and earth. And I say, strengthen them with might by your spirit in their inward man. Yes. Hallelujah. That's a prayer God will answer. Yes. Amen. Strengthen them. Yet right now, you know, a lot of Christians, they start off good fighting the fight of faith. And then when the things get tough and the going gets hard, you know, they give up, they get weak. We need to pray, strengthen them in their inward man. Strengthen them now, Lord. You know, I kind of like to just visualize this a little bit. You know, I don't get weird about it, but I try to visualize it a little bit. I think, Lord, I don't know where they are right now, but I just see your strength coming on them. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I think when the strength of God comes on somebody, they experience, they know it. I'm like, Lord, I don't care where they are. If they're behind the wheel driving right now, strengthen them. If they're in the workplace, strengthen them. If they're in school, strengthen them right now. If they're laying down in bed sleeping, Lord, I don't care. Just go ahead and strengthen them right there. Oh, hallelujah. And I have experienced this myself so many times. It's probably somebody here or maybe all of you. I've gotten to the place where I was at the end of my rope, where I was tired, where I didn't know, you know, how I was going to take the next step. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? And then all of a sudden, without me doing anything special, strength came upon me. I was strengthened and I could stand up and go the next step. Amen. And I'm so thankful for the prayers of the saints. Oh, I'm so thankful for the prayers of the saints. Oh, those prayers open doors. They give strength. They bring blessing. Amen. 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 Priority number one in prayer. Now, you know, Jesus did this as well. But before I want to look in John chapter 17. Before we do that, though, I want to look in Galatians 6:10. Because, you know, Paul said that we should pray for all men. But in Galatians chapter 6, he says something similar, but this time he makes a priority. In Galatians 6:10, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Say that one time, all men.
All men.
Now, all men, that means all women too, right? Okay, we're not funny like that, right? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Say especially. Especially denotes priority. In other words, if you can only do one of these, do this one. If you only have time or resources to do one of them, do this one. And he's talking about blessing the household of faith. Amen. Now, prayer is doing good, isn't it? So we could bring that right over into our prayer lives. Let's pray for everybody, but especially for the household of faith. In the New Living Translation, it says, especially to those who are in the family of faith. There are family, there are brothers, there are sisters, amen. There are mothers, there are fathers, hallelujah. You know, families should help one another and bless one another, amen. One German translation puts it this way. It says, should I say it in German? You want to hear it in German? Okay, tut Gutes an allen, aber besonders an den Hausgenossen des Glaubens. Okay, that's the German. Do good unto all men, but especially to those who are joined together with us in faith. Once again, we're joined together. We are joined together. It's in our best interest to pray for one another and to pray for the whole body. I pray for the Catholics. I pray for the Lutherans. I pray for the Presbyterians. I pray for the Episcopalians, for the Baptists, for the Methodists. I just pray for all of them. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know that we're different, and I know there's some things that they're doing that I don't agree with. They probably don't agree with everything we're doing, but we got to love them. And they got to love us whether they know it or not. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So much money is spent on politics, and I'm telling you what, politics will never change America. But what will change America is a revelation of Jesus Christ, and that's why we're here. We need strength. We need resources. We need the power of God to reach this generation. Amen. And that's why it's so important to pray for the body of Christ. Amen. We see this in Jesus' prayer life in John chapter 17. And when I saw this, I was like, come on. Is this really? I mean, come on. I know I read it. I probably read it 50 times and all of a sudden I saw it. Did you ever do that? Read it 50 times and then see it? John 17, verse 9. Jesus is praying here the night when they come to take him, you know, the next day he's going to be crucified, and he's praying. Who did he pray for? You all know this already. Who did he pray for? He prayed for his disciples and for those who would believe. But listen to this, the way it's formulated, the way it's said here. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Wait a minute. I do not pray for the world? Jesus, do you love the world or what? How many of you believe Jesus loved the world? Amen. He loved the world. He gave his life for the world. He says, I don't pray for the world. You know why? Because they don't need prayer in the first place. What they need is the gospel. He was praying for his disciples because they're going to take the gospel to them. He's going to turn this message over to them. They're going to bring it to those lost people. I don't pray for the world. I pray for my disciples because they're going to take the gospel to them. And what they need is the gospel. And like I said, I do pray for the lost. And I believe that prayer can soften hearts and open doors. I do believe that. But sometimes we've been focusing on an issue that the New Testament says hardly anything about. And the New Testament says so much about praying for one another. It lays a priority on this that you won't find in any other prayer request in the entire New Testament. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. Jesus, do you love the world? Of course he does. Now, we know that Jesus did pray about the multitudes who were unsaved. He did, didn't he? You know the prayer? Anybody want to tell me where you can find? I know this church. These folks are so filled with the word. Jesus did pray a prayer when he saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. How many of you know that? Yes. Anybody know where to find it? Matthew 9, exactly. Let's look at that real quick. Matthew 9 and verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. They were weary. It touched his heart. He saw they're broken down. They're beaten down. They're scattered. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. He prayed for them, didn't he? Well, actually, he didn't. What did he do? He was so moved with compassion. He says, guys, let's get down on our knees right now and have an intercession meeting for them. Huh? Did he do that? He didn't do that. He said, guys, we got to call everybody together and have a big prayer meeting for these lost people. Look how lost they are. They're scattered. It touches my heart. Let's pray for them. Did he do that? No, he didn't. What did he do? He did this. He said in verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest, those people who have touched my heart, those people who are scattered, those people who are going in every direction and don't even know what life's about. He was touched with them. He says, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's a prayer for believers. That's not a prayer for the lost. That's a prayer for believers that they would get up off their backside and get out in the field. Amen. Come on, somebody. Oh, I think I'm having more fun than you are. I don't know. Oh, hallelujah. It's wonderful to serve Jesus, isn't it? Amen. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. We talk about that. Oh, the compassion for the lost. But he didn't pray for them. He prayed for believers. Send those laborers out, Father. There's not enough laborers in the harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to do one more example, and then I think we're going to pray. Is that okay? We pray for a few minutes? One more example. Now, you know, on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. Many people got saved. A couple days later, and I'm telling you, we need more than ever before, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. I've also told our church, pray every day this Acts chapter 4 prayer. The Acts chapter 4 prayer where we're praying for the power gifts. Amen, that we would speak the word boldly. We're going to read it in just a second. That we would speak the word boldly, that God would stretch forth his hand to heal the sick, that signs and wonders would be done by the name of Jesus. We need this power today more than ever. I'm telling you, Hollywood, they have a lot of money they're putting in their movies. And we can't compete with them on that. We can make nice little Christian movies where we all get happy and sit at home. That's good. Okay, but that's not how we're going to reach the lost. We're going to reach the lost with healings, signs, and wonders, with deliverances. Amen. I want to encourage you, pray this Acts chapter 4, the prayer we're going to read in just a minute. Pray that every day. Pray it for this church. Pray it for the body of Christ. More than ever, we need that. Amen. So we know what happened. Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, not the 5 minutes of prayer. At the hour of prayer, just a little side issue there, okay? 5 minutes behind the driver's wheel, that's better than nothing, but I'm telling you, there's a place in waiting on God, hallelujah. Okay, and And so they're on their way there, and there was the lame man, and Peter and John stop there and say, look at us. What boldness. Look on us. They didn't say, well, brother, look to God. Maybe he can do something for you. No, they said, look on us. They were bold, man. They were prayers. They spent time with God. Look on us. And then Peter says, silver and gold I do not have. I'm married. No, he didn't say that. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. My wife says I need new jokes. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And he was instantly healed. And he's leaping and jumping and praising God. Big crowd comes together. Peter sees the opportunity, starts to preach. 5,000 people got saved on that day. One miracle. God, we ask you for more of the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, the gift of faith. One miracle, 5,000 people. Oh, glory. I could tell you stories. We got rows in the church filled with families because one person got healed. Amen. Well, anyway, you know, a lot of people were happy, but a lot of people were also unhappy, like the unbelieving Jews, the Sanhedrin. They came and said, you may no longer preach or teach in this name. Don't do it anymore. Don't preach or teach in the name of Jesus. So Peter and John, they went to their own company. So everybody say, thank God for our own company. Thank God for our own company. Amen. God placed us in the body as he saw fit. Amen. He didn't even ask our opinion about it. He just placed us. I'm so thankful he placed me where he placed me. Amen. And they prayed. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Did they pray for the government in this story? No, the government was giving them a hard time. The government says, you may no longer preach or teach in the name of Jesus. You would think they would pray for the government. Now, did they pray for the unbelieving Jews and maybe bind the religious spirits? We bind those religious Jesus-denying spirit. Did they do that? No, they don't. Now, believe me, I believe in praying for the government. I believe in praying for the lost. I believe in using our authority to break the power of the devil over people's lives. I'm just trying to make a point. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, who did they pray for? Well, let's look in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants. They didn't pray for the government. They didn't pray. They didn't bind or loosen. I believe in that. You understand? That was the first book I read besides the Bible after I got saved, The Believer's Authority. I believe in binding and loosing. Amen. Telling the devil, no, you can't do that here. Not in my family, you're not going to do it in the name of Jesus. Not in my neighborhood. Get out of here. I believe in doing that, but that's not what they did here. They said, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They knew that what these people needed was more than prayer. They needed Jesus. They needed miracles. They needed the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you know how God answered? God was so excited about this prayer that the whole building began to shake. Amen. Now, it's one thing when a person starts to shake a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I experienced that myself. You get that Holy Ghost shaking going on. That's good. But the whole building shook. And it was like, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It was like God saying out of heaven, yes, I like that kind of prayer. I like that kind of prayer. That's how you should pray, folks. That's how you should pray. Oh, God, that got his attention, didn't it? Amen. And signs and wonders multiplied, and multitudes were added to the church. And that's what our hearts are longing for and desiring. And, you know, maybe we're not being threatened like Peter and John. We haven't experienced that quite yet. Although, I'll tell you, we've been on the edge of it. We've been on the edge of it. You know, and I said when we pray for the government, we're praying for us. I just want to ask you to do this one thing. I mean, I'm not telling you to pray for a party, but I want you to know that it's not about a political party. And it's really not even about the issues that they're talking about. They feed issues and try to get you mad or angry or upset or happy about this. And like, oh, yeah, they'll do me something good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. Some of them are really good people, love the Lord. A lot of them, though, they could care less about the people. It's just the way it is. But disregarding that, we pray for them. And I want you to know this next election in 2020, it's going to be about your freedom of speech. This is what they're going for, just so you know that this is what the devil wants to get away from you. And he doesn't say it's against freedom of speech. He's saying it's about this issue or that issue, this issue or that issue. Because if he can get you to shut your mouth about this issue or that issue, then he's already got his foot in the door. Because how long will it be after that that he says, so you can no longer say Jesus is the only way? No, that's hate speech. I'm telling you, we need to pray. Amen? We need to pray. So we do pray for the government. We do pray for the lost. But we need to make it a priority to pray for one another. Amen. That we'll be blessed, because it makes God happy when we're blessed. Amen. And that we'll be able to fulfill his commission, that we'll have optimal conditions in America, in Austria, in this world for the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. So maybe we're not being threatened like they were, but there are threats. And every time, I don't know about you, but every time I feel like the Lord's telling me to speak to somebody about Jesus, every time, the first thought is, well, you don't want to do that right now. You don't even know this person that well. And there are threatening thoughts that come. Am I the only one? Anybody else out there? So behold their threats, Lord. Behold the threats. We don't have that same threat at this time, but there are other threats. Pray this prayer for this church and for the body of Christ and for me and for us. Amen. See, I have to admit, there's a little bit of godly selfishness in this prayer. I'm just, you know, I'd be so happy if you would all put us on your prayer list for Rhema Austria and what God is doing in Austria. We have a different set of challenges, but we all have challenges here, and we need each other more than ever. You have something I need. I have something you need. We're joined together. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we pray that the body of Christ will be strong to fulfill the Great Commission. The body of Christ needs revelation. These are the prayers that Paul prayed time and time again, revelation prayers. Lord, they don't even know what you did on the cross. Pray those revelation prayers. When we pray for one another, our love for one another grows. God's children are his first priority. And I'll tell you what, if you put his priority as your first priority, then your needs are going to be his first priority. Amen? So somebody's out there saying, yeah, but I need so much prayer. When you sow prayer, what are you going to reap? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One last scripture and then we're done. James 5:16. You're going to reap what you sow. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe you're in a desperate situation right now. Start praying for somebody else. Start praying for this church. Start praying for the leadership. Start praying for the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, God will raise up prayer warriors in the most unexpected places. Amen. They'll be praying in tongues one day and they're praying for you. Hallelujah. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another. Okay, let's do that. Look at your neighbor. No, that's just a joke. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, man. You got nervous, didn't you? You got nervous. I'm sorry. I was being ornery. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sister. Confess your, but maybe we should really do this and just say, you know, Lord, we haven't been praying for each other as much as we should have. It hasn't been the priority in our life that it should be. And we determined today to make a change. It's so hard to speak in English sometimes for me now. But we determined today we're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for Sister Sarah. We're going to pray for Pastor Ed and for Pastor Greg. And we're going to pray for all the leadership of this church. And we're going to pray for all the ministries of the church. We're going to pray for every helper. We're going to pray for every member. We're going to pray for everyone who attends this church, who just stops by to see what's happening. We're going to pray for them, Lord. Hallelujah. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Again, it's all over the New Testament. Pray for one another that you may be healed. That scripture alone proves that it's God's will to heal you. He would never tell us to pray for something that was not his will to do. Amen? Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Let's do that right now. Let's stand up real quick. And let's just take a moment here and pray for one another. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We give you praise and honor. Thank you that we can come before your throne. Thank you that we can honor you and worship you. Thank you that we can come together as a body, as a family, people joined together in Jesus and just come before your throne together. Lord, we come as a body right now before your throne and we pray for one another. We ask, Lord, grant us all the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of yourself, that the eyes of understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of your calling, what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints is, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe. Father, we ask that you would grant us to be strengthened with might by your spirit in our inward man, in the name of Jesus, that we would be rooted and grounded in love and comprehend with all saints what is the height and depth and length and breadth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that our revelation of love would grow and grow and grow and grow, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. Father, we ask that you would grant us to be like-minded, hallelujah, like-minded according to Christ Jesus, that we would with one heart and with one mouth glorify you in this world. Father, we also pray for all of the body of Christ. We pray for the Catholics. We pray for the Lutherans. We pray for those in the name of Jesus in every church, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, whoever they are. Father, even those who have strayed from the way, we are praying in the name of Jesus for the whole family, for every member of the body. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Grant us boldness to speak your word. Stretch forth your hand to heal. Let signs and wonders be done by the name of your holy servant Jesus. And Lord, I thank you right now for healing in this house today. You said, pray for one another that you may be healed. I'm asking you right now, every symptom, every pain, every sickness, every disease must leave in the name of Jesus. We speak healing over the body, mind, and soul of every person in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Kora shiketele samambatolo korandala sai. Yesu khorie shimandala bara senjandeles. Ora sefie sombro makurie shikendala masundra sai. Preso vresike la mambra mandulova shipedelas. Rosso hiela mia handan jokora sebialavos. Hallelujah. With joy, without ceasing, and always we pray. Night and day. Ika chacha la mandolo bosetrali. Rescotoli escinja dalla mambro lovo robo cose stadias resangio le sabrighe tu lo viestas sviende sviende le mi ambra bajora satala sai. Blessing, 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 blessing on your body, blessing on your body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed with all spiritual blessings, revelation, knowledge flowing. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Kurie Shaka Patalasai. Umbromoku Sombrendele Vesikitia Talamashai. Thank you.